Welcome to Dark Box Archive. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Josh.
And we're your hosts. Today, we're discussing a significant development in the cybersecurity world, where the U.S. government's recent ban on Kaspersky cybersecurity products for U.S. businesses and individuals.
Start a big conversation. Kaspersky is not a little name out there. A lot of people talking about this ban in the cybersecurity community.
Exactly. And so what we're going to do today is kind of, you know, explore the reasons behind the ban, the implications for its current users and businesses, and what this really means for the future of cybersecurity.
The thing is, go ahead.
Yeah. So let's get a little background on Kaspersky, Josh.
Well, Kaspersky has been around since the late 90s. They're a Russian-based cybersecurity firm, antivirus. They've always been controversial since forever. They've been controversial. Antiviruses are controversial to begin with. You get into a room and you talk to cybersecurity people and IT people, antivirus is a very big topic. One of the reasons antiviruses are controversial is there's a lot of people that think that, oh, they're writing the viruses and putting them out there, so then you need to buy their antivirus. That's a conspiracy, in my opinion. I don't think that's actually happening. I don't think it's ever happened. I think people want to exploit systems, and you know, companies like Kaspersky, McAfee, they're out there trying to stop and protect people's computers. Kaspersky being in Russia makes them a very controversial company in that space.
Yeah, so I mean, I can definitely see where, you know, you've got the controversial aspect of the origins of antivirus providers, and then the fact that they're Moscow-based, and you know, just the geopolitical aspects of, you know, the United States relationship with Russia definitely does really undercut Kaspersky.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, this ban has been being talked about for years. This is the fact they finally actually went through on it is very interesting, because I find people talking about this type of ban on Kaspersky since 2022, I believe. And as of
And also a reminder for people, the Department of Homeland Security actually banned Kaspersky from all federal agencies back in 2017. So that's been a while. So since then, there definitely has been a lot of talk about banning this for on the commercial side as well for the rest of the United States.
Well, the worst thing I think about it is Kaspersky has done a lot for the cybersecurity community. They are an avid researcher. They have put out so much free information out there for, like, hey, let's make the cybersecurity community better. Let's strengthen everything. They are a great resource of information. I don't use antiviruses myself. I don't recommend antiviruses because I still remember when I was a kid getting started in computers. I put an antivirus on a computer and it bogs it down to like a snail's pace. So I've just never been an antivirus person. It's not something I advocate in order or use.
But I mean, but we both know that it's a big business out there in the cybersecurity industry, because people like the little messages and alerts that pop up showing, hey, you know, we defended you against this or this or this.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a huge industry. And, you know, just talking about kind of going back about, you know, people in the cybersecurity industry, I mean, we know that Kaspersky has done a lot of great research for the cybersecurity world. And, you know, but part of me also feels a little bad for them, because we know that with them being Moscow based, they really don't have the type of legal protections as a company from their government that we here in the US often enjoy. You know, we have rights and stuff, and if there's issues, we can always litigate it. Unfortunately for Kaspersky, being in Moscow, we know that, you know, if the Russian government demanded them certain things or data or whatnot, they would have to hand it over or people would start disappearing. What are your thoughts on that?
It's not handing over data, handing over access to computers. When you install an here's the thing. When you install an antivirus on your computer, you are given an incredible amount of access to your computer. And that can be easily exploited by a nation state actor. There's a reason we don't really use Chinese software products, because they do openly control those companies. So
right.
China would definitely go in there and backdoor through the software. So all it takes is a update that includes a backdoor into whatever computer they want that's running Kaspersky, and see, read all the files on that computer, determine who that user of that computer is. Is that a prime target for espionage or hack, for just, you know, cyber attack? Russia is known for their cyber attacks. They're number one or number two in the cyber attack range.
Right, absolutely. And we see basically the cybersecurity lab, I would say, for new developments within cybersecurity in their war with Ukraine. You know, what kind of blows my mind, and we've discussed this before, however, it really didn't hit, you know, the major news network, was that this past December in Ukraine, their cell phone service was all shut down for, I believe it was like several days. Like, that has never happened before. And that was due to a cyber attack. And so the implications of that is huge, you know, just across the world. So, you know, just the fact that they have that much capability with these antivirus programs to really delve into businesses' operations and individuals' lives, you know, that is a very worrisome thing.
You know, Russia has, I would say they are probably the country that has demonstrated how you can utilize cyber attacks in a part of regular warfare. Like, they have done DDoS attacks that have shut down countries' infrastructure. They have shut down electrical grids. They have taken cyber attacks from, you know, a mild annoyance to life-threatening attack. And it has brought it, like, massively out there.
Yeah, and what I kind of find interesting is that this mandate has actually come from the U.S. Department of Commerce, basically shutting down the sales of Kaspersky's antivirus software and whatnot. versus this really being an announcement from Homeland Security Department. And so I just thought that that was kind of interesting because it's a major national security threat. And then, you know, when I read the news on this, it kind of, I also thought about, like, you know, the timing of this was interesting, you know, especially with the presidential elections coming up this November. And, you know, there was all sorts of intelligence from the last several elections where, you know, Russia was involved with various things, you know, from, you know, fake social media accounts and whatnot. So, you know, part of me kind of says that the U.S. government must have been given some more indication that, you know, potentially attacks are going to be ratcheted up or something.
Oh yeah, people, anybody listening to this, it is not a conspiracy theory that Russia interfered with our elections. To what degree and impact that actually had, that's a subjective question. But the fact that they were actually involved is a proven fact out there. They were actively trying to interfere regardless. So I just, that's not a question of that, whether, you know, and that's one tactic where if I was Russia, I was Putin, and I said, hey, we have Kaspersky in our country. You know what? I want control of their company. I want control of the computers that they have control over. And we're going to do something with it. I don't know what.
Yeah, which.
But, you know, we're going to do something.
Yeah, which again is just, you know, I feel bad for, you know, a lot of the Kaspersky employees that are doing a great job, you know, have done great things for research and whatnot to help out the cybersecurity industry. So I mean, that's pretty tragic.
I mean, I love their research. I've done a lot of stuff with their free code they've put out.
So when we talk about really the direct implications for businesses and individuals that use their product, what is some advice that you would have for them, knowing that this has now happened? And, you know, what are some steps that they can take to protect themselves?
Make sure your subscription gets canceled.
Okay.
Let's start with that. Make sure this before everything else, because when do they have to, like, people have to stop using it where they're not going to provide updates anymore? It's September this year, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So you want to get, and I feel so bad for the company, like you said, but you should just get out of the contract with them as soon as possible, remove the software off your computer, and if you are, and this is for individuals, just get out of the contract, remove the software, make sure there's no software left over from Kaspersky, and then if you're using, it depends on what device you're using it for, but most likely you're using it on Windows. So turn on your Windows Defender again and start using it, unless you want to find a new antivirus. Like I said, I don't recommend using antiviruses that much. Just good old Windows Defender does really good job. They put a lot of work into that product.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's the best you can do as an individual. As a company, as like an MSP or a company that's using Kaspersky, you are going to need to start changing. You need to start right now. Like, you should have started yesterday.
Right.
As soon as this was announced of doing this, because you're going to change all your computers, like start sending out to remove that, it could take you weeks, depending on how ingrained it is on your system.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't recommend using antiviruses, so you could switch to something like Komodo or...
I mean, and I guess at the same time, too, is that, you know, I guess maybe even changing out your credit card information that was saved with Kaspersky, or, you know, various passwords, things like that. Although yeah. we, you know, advise people to always change their password every month, you know, those basic things also need to be done, because obviously they have access to that.
Oh yeah. You wanted to, if it is the worst case scenario where Russia has control, let's go a little out there, I guess. If Russia has already taken control of Kaspersky, they have started taking data, you want to go in and change your data with them to random junk data, so that, you know, it can't be used against you. So if you use a specific password with Kaspersky or something, change that to something random, you know, give them junk information, give them as little as possible, and, you know, remove them from your computer as soon as possible. Even right. if, like, Kaspersky's, and I don't blame them for this, but they're going to be a little sour about this, so it might incentivize them to do something malicious. And I don't think it would look good on them, because I'm sure they're going to hope that this ban gets lifted at some point, but they could go the sour route and do something really malicious. So sooner we get them off the computers with this ban, probably the better.
With this ban, and I mean, internally as a company, you know, for example, we never used Russia-based products internally, or Chinese products internally. But, you know, just talking about this from a geopolitical aspect, in the increasing intersection of cybersecurity with geopolitics, it really reminds us that, you know, trust and transparency within the cybersecurity industry is huge. And, you know, so what are your thoughts on that, Josh?
This is why...
You know, just making sure, you know, where are individuals and businesses getting their services or products from?
Okay. So I'm a big advocate of open source technology. Most of the tools we use for incident response or client services and anything like that, a lot of them are open source. The reason is because I can go in, look at the back end, see what code is being ran, and I don't have to worry about whether or not my data is getting sent to Russia, or somebody else has a backdoor.
Yep.
Open source technology gives a lot of extra eyes on it. Google, Facebook, Microsoft, they all use open source technology. They are very, they support open source technology. They fund it.
So it's really professional accountability.
Yeah.
You know, yep.
It looks bad with if a project gets, you know, infiltrated in any shape or form, and it's caught really fast. I've heard of products that are closed source being infected for months before it's caught, before the issue is caught.
Mm-hmm.
On an open source, you're looking maybe a month, a week, a couple days. it's really fast. So I am very advocate for open source technology. If you're not, you need to look at US-based companies and Israeli-based companies.
Right, and you know, and from really the potential liability perspective also is that, you know, businesses really need to be aware of where they're getting their services, because if you're not doing your due diligence with the data that you have, and you know, you get infiltrated and your client's personal identifiable information gets out there and stuff, and you get sued, and it's shown that you didn't really do your due diligence with your cybersecurity services, you know, that could really come back to, you know, hurt businesses. And so and then also from the regulation aspect too, you know, we're seeing, you know, more states cracking down on protecting clients' data that a lot of businesses have. And then we're also seeing on the federal side where contractors are required to have a certain level of cybersecurity to even do business with the federal government. So we're definitely seeing a lot of change.
Yeah. We have a few of our own products. One of our biggest products we just came out with is called the CMMC Documenter. When developing that, my first thought is, where is the data for this thing going to be stored? We actually had a conversation about this. Like, we don't want to be, you know, we'd be good stewards of your data as a company.
Right.
It's one of those, I'm fanatical about it. But I really where's your data going to be stored? So when we look at software solutions for things, you know, CMC Documenter is completely on your computer. It doesn't reach out and call back to some remote server. Most software
right.
products nowadays, I would say 99% reach out and call to somebody. You need to ask yourself, what are they calling out to this company for? Where are they calling out to? Because maybe that company is hosting a server where it really shouldn't have that server located. Why is it doing it? You know, we did a review of some software for a company, and we it's up on our blog actually, but we basically found that, you know, they're doing calls towards Microsoft, Google, and one of their own servers, which
right.
not a big deal. Luckily, that software would run without the internet access if you needed it. But it's a concern that you really need to look at. Like, okay, you know, who's developing it? The product in question was out of Taiwan, I believe, off the top of my head. You got to analyze that stuff. You don't want to just say, okay, I'm going to pick this product based on their sales, you know, their sales copy. You want to actually look and
yep.
say, who is this? Who's giving me this software? That's a very, very important thing.
Right, Josh. Those are great points. Yeah, so... You know, I think this is going to be an interesting case as we follow along with, you know, what happens with the ban and the ramifications of all this. So I think that wraps up our conversation for today. So everyone, thanks for listening. We hope you found this discussion on the U.S. ban of Kaspersky products informative.
Please like, subscribe, whatever you got to do on whatever platform you're on.
And then check us out at darkboxsecurity.com for more information and resources on how we can assist you with your cybersecurity needs.
And if you want to talk with us and, you know, ask us questions, jump on our Discord, darkboxsecurity.com/Discord. We'll be happy to answer questions, keep you up to date with stuff, and just have a good conversation.
Exactly, Josh. Until next time, stay safe and stay secure.